I want to thank everyone for being here this morning, and it's good to see everybody. You'll notice I'm not on oxygen today, so I hope I don't run out of air, but hopefully I won't. I've been doing pretty good, so I've been using it part of the day and not using it, so I'm trying to wean myself off it totally. This morning we're going to talk about an important subject that we need to stress when we're talking to someone about the gospel, and that's the subject of the end Christ. In 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 3, John says there, he said, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." Notice he said that we are in him. We can know whether or not we're in Christ or not. And that is by keeping his commandments. Those who say they keep his commandments, or maybe they think we can't keep his commandments, they're liars, John said. He said, "But whoso keepeth his word," it is obedient to his word, "in him," that is the one who keeps the word, "is verily the love of God perfected." He said, "Hereby we know that we are in him." So, in that first verse, verse 3, he said, "And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." To know God is to know his truth. And Paul preached the gospel and called it the truth over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "And the commandments of God, the word of God. And truth is revealed as the commandments of God," in verses 2 and 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. Now, modern day Gnostics will tell us that we cannot understand all the truth. John said they're liars because we can't understand the truth. Paul told the Ephesians to understand the truth. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." So clearly one who does not keep God's commandments is a sinner and does not have God, as John told us in 2 John 9. Then the next verse, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." See, the verbs "know" and "keepeth" are present tense. They indicate that the individual keeps on saying, "I know him," but he continues to walk in rebellion to God's word. That makes him a liar. There's a glaring reality to such a one who is truly a liar, and their father, the father of lies. Over in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus told the Jews that they were the father of lies. And Jesus, or in Genesis chapter 3, we see where Adam and Eve were deceived by a lie of the devil. God said, "You shall surely die if they partook of the forbidden fruit." The serpent said, "You shall not surely die." A liar from the beginning. So they're the children of the liar of the beginning, the devil. So one individual can say, "I know God's truth," and another may say, "I know God's truth," but does not keep them. That makes them a liar. And so we need to clearly paint the picture. There's two classes of individuals John speaks of here. First, those who are in fellowship with God. These individuals walk in the light, obeying God's commands and asking God to forgive them when sin occurs. Then secondly, there are those who are out of fellowship with God. These individuals claim to know God. However, when they walk in darkness, they reveal that they have no true fellowship with God, no matter what smooth and perfect speech they may make. But they claim that they are of God. They're liars, as John said. Then in verse 3, or 5 rather, he said, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily the love of God is perfected. Hereby we know that we know him," or we know that we are in him. So there's association between God's commandments, the truth, his word, that makes us complete. God's commandments, His truth, His word are all one of the same truth. And the individual who continues to keep God's word illustrates in his daily life that the love of God, the truth, the gospel is perfected. The gospel which reveals salvation tells us how to obtain salvation. So this word perfected means to make perfect, to be complete of things, to make it perfect, to accomplish or to be accomplished. Perfected is in the future tense, which indicates the present state of that results upon a past action. So the function of truth is to reveal information or instructions whereby man may enjoy salvation and fellowship with God. So the individual who adheres to the instructions God has revealed to us, then we see that the Word of God accomplishes in his life and thereby makes him perfect in Christ, a forgiven sinner. The love of God is saving sinners through his Son Jesus. The gospel reveals this fact. So in the gospel, we have facts to be believed, commands to be obeyed, promises to be received. So we need to believe the facts, obey the commands, and will receive the promise of eternal life. So when one conducts themselves as God would have us, as He reveals in His gospel, when we adhere to the facts of God's love, then our souls are perfected, or we're perfected in God's love. It's accomplished. That perfection is accomplished in that means. So as we think about this passage of Scripture, we're going to look at a number of uses of the word in Christ. So in the lesson plan, we plan on discussing spiritual blessings obtained in Christ. Notice they're in Christ. We'll talk about who is in Christ, who is out of Christ, and how to get into Christ. So to be in Christ is to know Christ. We cannot know Christ unless we're in Christ. That word in is a primary preposition denoting a fixed position, a place, or a state in time, or by implication, instrumentality, as Thayer says, or a relation of rest. Peter taught that salvation is only in Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He said, neither is the salvation any other, for there is no other name or none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is only one place of salvation. That's in Christ. We need to emphasize this when we're talking to those, when we're trying to convince them of the gospel. It's a truth that needs to be emphasized and that we need to remember. Then eternal life is in Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Paul said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through or in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see where salvation, eternal life, is only in Christ. So we have to know Christ. In order to know Christ, we need to be in Christ. That phrase, in Him, is used extensively in 1 John chapter 2. In fact, there's 22 verses that contain the phrase in him, not always referring to Jesus. It can refer to men who are not in him. Notice 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. He said, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That is, the truth is not in the individual, those who say they know him and do not keep his commandments. Go back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. John said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him, that is in Christ, there is no darkness at all. Then in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, he said, he that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Remember, Jesus is our example, and he left us an example to follow. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, John wrote, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him. And then here, because the darkness is past and the true light is now shineth. Then over in 1 John chapter 1 verse 28, John said, and now little children, abide in him. Abide means to dwell in, to remain in, to continually keep his promises and his commandments, that when he shall appear we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So many verses that use that verse and that phrase, so we need to emphasize that in our own examination of ourselves and in teaching others. So in Christ, you know, we can be deceived if we do not know the teaching on being in Christ. You know, there are many who believe the false doctrine of salvation by faith only. Just believe that you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ and accept him as your personal Savior and you'll be saved. But James says, you see then how that by works the man is justified and not by faith only. And there are many who have false confidence in the denominational expression of faith. There are those who have a false hope of heaven without being in Christ. Some think they're in Christ and they're not in Christ. They're not following what the teachings of the Bible teach. So we need to emphasize what it means to be in Christ. But what are the spiritual benefits obtained in Christ? We'll look at a few of them. First of all, to be in Christ is essential for salvation. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that we are new creatures. We are a new creation. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that many new things when we reap the benefits of being in Christ. Then he says that every spiritual blessing is in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. In Christ. Just notice that expression. Then we have the redemption and forgiveness of sins in Christ. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So, where does redemption, how is that attained? By being baptized into Christ and coming in contact with his blood. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, Paul said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In Christ. Then we have no condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Paul said, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, to the church at Corinth, he said, to them that are justified or sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that call upon the name of the Lord, Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So all who call upon the name of the Lord were obedient to the gospel can have that blessing and receive the essential blessings of being in Christ. A few more. We have the promises of God in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, Paul said, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Righteousness is in Christ. We're not righteous if we're out of Christ, if we're not obedient to his word, and we claim to be. John said that makes us alive. The truth is not in us. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul said, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, Paul 8 and 9, Paul said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuge, that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, But that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness of, which is of God by faith, then we have truth in Christ. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, he said in the beginning of verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be, ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Remember, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. He taught the truth. The apostles were revealed the truth. They wrote the truth down for us to understand and to obey. And so we can have grace as well by being in Christ. Paul told Timothy, he says, Thou therefore, my beloved son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grace is in Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, he said, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So who is in Christ and who's out of Christ? Now when we look at the compare the benefits that we see expressed in the Scriptures of who's in Christ, or to those that are in Christ and those that are out of Christ, it ought to be very easy to convince people to obey the gospel, but somehow it's not. So, in and out. First, Christians are in Christ. You know, the disciples in Antioch were called Christians first at Antioch. Disciple comes from a Greek word that means a pupil, a learner, a follower of the master teacher. They were called. Notice that expression. That they were called. Comes from the Greek word kimitizo, which means to utter an oracle. It's divinely intimate by implication. To constitute a firm for business. To bear a title. To be called. To be admonished of God. To reveal. To speak. It wasn't a slang term applied to Christians by Jews, but it was God-given. It was a name God gave. It was divinely intimate. So they're called Christians. And without Christ, those that are without Christ, notice, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul told the Ephesians that at that time you were without Christ. They weren't Christians, they were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, and having no hope, and without God of the world. So they were without Christ, they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, they were strangers from the covenant of promise, they had no hope, and they were without God in the world. Where Christians are with God in the world, they're learners of the master teacher. And Christians, and those that are in Christ, is a child of God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for ye all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. You're not a child of God if you're not in Christ Jesus. You're a son of disobedience. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, Paul told the Ephesians, he said, and you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So they were once children of disobedience rather than children of God. So now we're children of God when we're in Christ. Those that are out of Christ are sons of disobedience. As we read already in Romans chapter 8, we see the comparison made of walking in the Spirit and walking according to the flesh. Paul said, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So those who walk according to the Spirit are in Christ, they are following the Spirit's revelation of truth. Then those that are in Christ are near God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So we're either far off or made nigh. We're near. We're near God in Christ. We're far off. We're far from God if we're not in Christ. Then we see that we can be either children of light or children of darkness. Those that are children of the light are those that are in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, he said, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We're either in light or in darkness. When we walk not in the truth, we're walking not according to the truth. We're not walking in the light as He is in the light. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1, everybody. And John uses this expression. He said in 1 John chapter 1, he said, "This then is the message," verse 5, "which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have no fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Kind of what John said over in our text, John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. So we're either children of light in Christ or children of darkness out of Christ. Which one would you be of all these if you were thinking about it? Which one would you want to be? Which one is the most spiritually advantaged? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? It's obvious. Then, those that are in Christ are cleansed of sin. Well, Paul told the Corinthians that they were, and warned them, that what they once were, and told them what they once were. Notice beginning at verse 9. He said, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He said, "Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you," he said. "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So these are those who have been cleansed of sins. But those that are out of Christ are defiled by sin. In Titus chapter 1, verse 15, Paul said, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their minds and their consciences is defiled." So we see the difference, stark difference, between being in Christ and out of Christ. Then we're redeemed from sin, whereas we're slaves of sin by being in darkness. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul said, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." And Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, he said, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you obeyed the form of rebellion from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." So he made a contrast. Just like he did to the Corinthians, he spoke to the Romans and made a contrast of when they were in darkness, when they were out of Christ, as opposed to now being in Christ. See, when we're out of Christ, we're under wrath of God, but when we're in Christ, we're free from God's wrath. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, he said, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we should be saved from wrath through Him." We're subject to God's wrath when we're walking in darkness, when we're not heeding His word. Paul told the Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 5, he said, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." He says, "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in whom ye also walked in time when ye lived in them." So how do we get into Christ? We all know this. This is a review for most of us, but we need to be able to emphasize this when we're talking to those we may have an opportunity to talk to. But we are brought into Christ by answering the gospel call, aren't we? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul said, "God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Then in verse 21, he said, "Therefore, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God, by the foolishness, or what people refer to as foolishness, of preaching to save them that believe. Those that thought they were wise were really foolish. Those that were preaching and obeying the gospel were the wise, according to Paul. Before Christ ascended to heaven, he told his apostles. And Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 46, he says, "Thus it behooved," or "thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So preaching was necessary. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul referred to the gospel as our gospel. He says, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel," the gospel they were required to teach to others. Remember, he told them to go and to preach the gospel to all creatures. He said, "But he called you to our gospel," that is, not their own gospel, but the gospel that was entrusted to them, "to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So God calls us by the gospel. Then we have to answer the call. We have to receive it. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Therefore, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, not all answered the call. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So we see where many that are called don't answer the call. A sad situation. Paul said, or Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 41, that they were pricked in their heart, the record says, Luke recorded, and Peter said to the rest and all there on the day of Pentecost, when they asked, "What shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It is a gift the Holy Ghost gives, that salvation. And this promise was made to you and all your children that are afar off. It is as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did they testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And those that gladly received the word were baptized. The same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. So about 3,000 souls that day answered the call of the gospel. You remember Saul of Tarsus was told, "I want to carry, so I'll rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins," calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord. Everyone must be baptized. Jesus sent his disciples out and told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you all the way even to the end of the world. And Paul told the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and verse 27, he said, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So we see where there must be a complete surrender of self. We must obey Christ to obtain the forgiveness and fellowship of God. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 3, our text. He said, hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And in 1 John chapter 1 verse 3, He said that we, which we have seen, we heard, declaring to you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ. So back to our text. John said, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. So we need to know that we are in Him by keeping, and we can know that we're in Him by keeping His commandments. So all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And so we have a list of a number of spiritual blessings. Remission of sins, our sins being washed away, the blood of Christ, becoming a new creature, as we talked about, putting on Christ, sanctification and cleansing, being a child of God, entering the kingdom, having a good conscience, or answering a good conscience to God, as Peter talked about in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, being absent of body, naming the name of Christ, or following that name, or being saved by that only name that can save us, and salvation. These are just some of the blessings that we could mention. But the alien sinner is separated. He's separate and apart from those blessings. And all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And Paul told the Galatians that we're baptized into Christ. We're only able to receive these spiritual blessings if we're in Christ. So baptism stands between the alien sinner and all spiritual blessings then. What about the spiritual condition of those that are in Christ and out of Christ? We've looked at this chart already. You know, in Christ, we're Christians, we're children, a child of God. We're walking according to the Spirit. We're near God, opposed to being far from God. We're children of light rather than children of darkness. We're cleansed of sins rather than being defiled by sin. We're redeemed from our sins, not slaves to sin. We're free from wrath, not under wrath. We must be baptized into Christ. We must be faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul told the Colossians, Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. Notice that we're to walk in Him, we're to be built up in Him. And John said, he that saith he abideth in Him, Himself also so to walk even as He was. So we must be obedient to God's word. We must remain faithful in Christ. To remain in Christ. And then unto. Now we believe, Paul taught that we believe unto salvation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 10, Paul said, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Not into, unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We haven't just obtained salvation just by believing alone. And a lot of people today believe that, don't they? Believe and accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and you're saved. Now, belief is unto righteousness. Repentance is unto life. In Acts chapter 11, verse 18, concerning Cornelius and his household, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Not into life, but unto life. Then we confess unto, remember, Romans 10, verse 10 again, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With confession, of the mouth confession is made unto salvation, not into salvation. Then when we're baptized into Christ. Notice what Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 6, beginning at verse 3. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together and the likeness of his death. We should be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And Paul again told the Galatians that they were children of God because they had been baptized into Christ. And into Christ puts us in fellowship with God, where all spiritual blessings are located. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So we have spiritual blessings, including but not limited to redemption, being a new creature, remission of sins, sanctification, justification, and salvation into Christ. Into Christ. That's the life of your new way subject, Lord, going to take. We urge you to think of the things we've talked about. And this is so important because most people believe they're in Christ when they're not. They don't walk by his commandments. And when you read God's word, you find out people who make that claim are liars, and the truth is not in them. So let us not be liars with the truth not being in us. Let us be dwelling in Christ and being obedient to his word. If there's anyone here this morning who desires to respond to the Lord's invitation, we urge that you do so. Together we stand and sing the song that has been announced. Shall we stand while we sing?